Spirit, come. Have your word with us. Have your way with us. And make your glory shine among us. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. Every time I prepare to speak from this platform, the exact same thing happens. I consider the text, I sit with it for a while, I think about the best way in and out of each of the points, I try to craft a presentation that is clear, encouraging, and truthful to the text, and then I press save on my computer and I close it up and I feel this really great sense of accomplishment. For about 2 minutes. By the time I get home, I'm already feeling that it's now this predictable pattern, and I've learned for the most part to sort of ignore it, but I hear the same messaging over and over in my brain. That's really pretty lame. You have nothing worth saying. It's not good enough. And it's not lost on me that close to 25% of the population will rate public speaking as one of their most common fears. I'm typically a pretty confident person, but if confidence was a well that I could dip into, I would take a double portion of whatever's on tap. When Jesus invited the fishers to follow, it must have required something special to stand up and get going. When Jesus asks a Samaritan woman at a well for a drink from her own cup, it must have taken something special for her to stand up and announce to her whole township that she had encountered the Christ. And when the Holy Spirit fell on the new church in Jerusalem, it must have taken something special for Peter to stand up and declare the unexplainable activity was evidence that Jesus was both the Lord and the Christ for all. It takes something special to stand up and speak. For much of my life, I believe that that something special was confidence. Anyone who has ever had to play at a piano recital, anyone who's had to give an oral presentation, I don't know, defend a thesis, anyone who's had to step onto a sport court at a critical time in their game knows that confidence is a well-valued commodity. And the great commission that Jesus sets before us all is a call to stand up and to be part of a baptizing and a discipling enterprise throughout the whole world. And my guess is that most of us might be a little more likely to get fully on board with that mission if we just felt a little more confident in our abilities. Defined as a feeling of self-assurance arising from one's appreciation of one's own abilities or qualities. The American self-help writer Zig Ziglar describes confidence this way. He says, confidence is going after Moby Dick in a rowboat, taking tartar sauce with you. I mean, who wouldn't want a little more of that? Well, in the story from this morning in 1 Kings, thanks for reading, Todd, it's a long narrative. And there's this exciting thing going on, right? Basically, Elijah's standing up for God. And he's been invited to help God make himself known in this kind of battle between gods. God, the real true God of Israel, and the God of Baal. It occurs to me that if we look at this passage together, we just might find something even more valuable than our own confidence. What if the something special that really makes a difference has nothing to do with ourselves at all? If you have your Bibles with you, I really encourage you, because it's a long passage and you're going to want to read it later anyway. So flip open to 1 Kings chapter 18. If you've got your devices with you, this would be a good time to pull them out and get your Bible app going. But 1 Kings chapter 18. And it's this great story of Elijah, of course. So we picked up the story at verse 21, but I actually want us to go back. I want us to go back just to the very first verse. 1 Kings 18, verse 1, it says this, "After many days, the Lord's word came to Elijah. It was the third year of the drought. Go, appear before Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth." This is the stage upon which this fiery narrative unfolds. The Lord's word came to Elijah. The Lord's word came to Elijah. We may search for more confidence, believing that it's something special that we all need, but God has something different in mind to set us apart for his mission. The Lord's word came to Elijah. God's word, the presence of God, the nature of God, the will of God, the essence of God, the spirit of God. God shows up. God moves first. And here's that something special. It's the first something special that I want to encourage us with this morning, that God's activity begins at the word of God. Everything starts with God. Have you noticed that in Scripture? Turn to Genesis 1:1. What does it say? In the beginning? Well, that's for John. How about Genesis 1:1? In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created. And in the beginning was the Word, as it says in the Gospel of John. Whereas confidence might be rooted in our skill and ability, the one who stands up for God will discover that in seeking God first, as we seek God, believing in his active ways, as we wait upon the Lord, we may have the privilege of dwelling in the Lord's intimate presence. Just as the Lord's word came to Elijah, may it also, through the Holy Spirit, come to us. Standing up for our faith is never to be about us. It's not about our ability to speak clearly. It's not about our confident knowledge or our attitude as we head out on a mission. Becoming people who will follow Jesus has always, is, and always will be about the activity of God. Jesus, the word that was in the beginning, came as Emmanuel, God with us. And that witness of the word is something truly special. The word of the Lord has come to lead. Are we paying attention? Are we expectant that the Holy Spirit is stirring among us? Are we intentionally creating spaces together? Adjusting our lives to a slower pace, turning down the volume of other influences so that we might read or listen for or accommodate the coming of the Lord's word. As people who are on mission making Jesus known, we must first and foremost celebrate this truth. All confidence aside, everything God is doing begins at God's word. And this implies that we're becoming a listening community, a patient community, an expectant community. It means we'll find confidence not in ourselves, but we place our confidence in the Father's promises, in the person of Jesus, and in the activity of the Holy Spirit. Everything God is doing begins at God's word. Now, if you're in your scriptures, jump ahead with me, and we're going to go down into verse 21. This is where we have the setup for the big fiery unfolding. God's plan here is to make himself known to this people that have rejected his lordship. And they've instead flirted kind of between God and this false god of Baal. And Elijah, it says, approached all the people and said, "How long will you hobble back and forth between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow God. And if Baal is God, follow Baal." Sure if you're like me at all, but I often find that the more complex or convoluted a situation becomes, the less confidently I'm able to proceed. But here Elijah is spelling out something special in a pretty plain spoken way. Follow the God you follow. Follow the God you follow. You might be aware that this past week, there was a pastor's retreat. All the pastors from around the province within our denomination gathered in Whistler. And the theme for this year's event was Stay the Course. The theme was to help us stay the course through all the seasons of ministry. We heard from three different leaders at three different stages of their ministry. The funniest by far was the youngest. He was a former youth pastor, so he had that kind of game dialed in a little bit. But he managed to sum up this whole theme, this whole notion of staying the course, with this one simple idea. He said to all this room full of pastors, he says, "You want to know how to stay on the path? Stay on the path. Yeah. Don't get off the path. That's how you stay on the path. Stay on the path." Well, Elijah had that simple idea first. You want to do something special? Follow the God you follow. This is not rocket science. Make a decision. Align your will to the God you follow. Watch for the Holy Spirit. Where is the Holy Spirit stirring up fire? Then go and make sure you're right there to enjoy it. Choose God and then follow God. This is not complicated. We will not find the more we think we're looking for as long as we look to build confidence in complex plans or in a process just because it was well polished or well presented. The more we're looking for is only found as we follow the God we were made to follow. Confidence in our own agenda, our own abilities, our own notions should and always does leave us uncertain. Yet those who put their trust in the Lord, those who follow the God they follow, they will know the peace that passes all understanding, and they'll enjoy this unshakable ground upon which we stand in Christ Jesus. So where is God stirring? Get yourself there as fast as you can. Where is God leading you? Well, get aligned with His Spirit and step into His pace. Where is God inviting you to follow? Put down your nets. Lay aside your own plans. Put to rest your flirtations with other lesser gods. And place your confidence in Jesus alone and follow His lead. I realize this is simple but not easy. But something special that you long for is the communion found in following the God you were made to follow. Finally, jump down with me to verse 36. It says, "At the time of the evening offering, the prophet Elijah drew near and prayed, 'Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant.'" The worldly pursuit of confidence would entice us to believe that success comes by dressing up a level, by taking a commanding posture, or by using an authoritative voice. All things I realize I'm a little bit guilty of this morning. Yet the something special the scriptures reveal is to give honor to God and to embrace a posture of servanthood. It is our blessing always to point to God's activity, to shout praises for God's character, to direct all attention to God's glory in Jesus Christ. You know, I recently went to a wedding. I'm wondering if others have had this experience too, and I realize there's a few engaged people out in the congregation today, so listen up. It's a cautionary tale. I don't know, maybe you have a different opinion than I do, but I was at this wedding where the photographers were a little more prominent than I felt was appropriate. I don't know, but to me it feels like the bride and groom should sort of be the center of attention. But at this particular wedding, the photographer was pretty front and center. It is their job to capture the event, to help us make memories of this event. But in this case, the wedding photographer actually became the event. Everything was about getting the perfect pose. I would have enjoyed the wedding had I been able to see it beyond the photographer standing in front of me. The real focus focus of the day was completely lost because the photographer became the show. As we seek to follow the God we follow, we are never the show. We needn't find glamorous settings or places of promise. We don't need to be caught up in how we're being perceived by others, or whether we're doing it right, or if we're even getting proper credit. Rather, as we stand up and follow God, in many ways, we're actually stepping down. Standing up looks like stepping down and seeking to ensure that all our energies direct one pursuit only, to give God glory. And wow, this story ends in a glorious blaze of holy fire, right? Like fire that is uncontrollable. The watery trenches can't stop it. And fire that's not conjured up through anyone's effort, but the scripture actually says that fire fell so that only it could have come at the will of God. And fire that was unquenchable, it consumes everything in its place. And the fire that's undeniable of God's glory. The scripture said this, the people saw this and fell on their faces. The Lord is the real God! The Lord is the real God, they exclaimed. This was something truly special. No confident preacher or well-outfitted CEO could ever compare to the glory of the Lord, and that's the point entirely. Everything starts at the Word of God. So be confident in Jesus, the Word of God. Follow the God you follow. And be confident in the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is active. And let God's glory be known. So be confident in the glory of our Heavenly Father. Because God alone is our something special. And all our confidence can be found in Him. We're going to do something a little bit different this morning. I've invited a few people to come up and share, to stand up. And I have no idea if they're feeling confident or not. My guess is they're feeling a little bit freaked out about this. Because who likes to stand up in front of people? We're going to like sit down. You can stand up and sit down. But why don't Rebecca Hagen and Henda, our new ministry manager, she's going to come up and take a seat. And Tease McKenzie, we're so glad that you guys are here. I just asked them if they wouldn't mind demonstrating a little bit of what I just talked about, the ability to point to what God has been at work at, places where they maybe follow the God they follow, and this is their opportunity to give some glory to God. The question I asked them was, just share with the congregation where the Holy Spirit has been stirring or active in your life. So Rebecca, would you like to go first?
I suppose I do. So when Kyla was asking me this question, it actually took me a while to kind of figure out what I wanted to say. And if you've been in my office recently, since I got here and kind of organized the space a little bit, you'll notice that there's a bulletin board right beside my desk, and that's what I call my inspiration board. I had it at my last job, too. It's got pictures of my family and my friends. It doesn't have wedding pictures yet, because I haven't gotten around to that. But it also has a little card on it. You know those "Hello, my name is" name badges? Well, a couple of months ago at my old church in Calgary, we did a service where people were encouraged to take a "Hello, my name is" card and write a word that they felt like God was speaking to them on it. So some people wrote, you know, "Hello, my name is beloved," or "Hello, my name is," what did I have? I had a few other examples. Wrong side of the paper, that's why. "Hello, my name is brave," or "Hello, my name is strength." And so I took the card, and I've always had a really hard time with the idea of like hearing from God, because I never really knew what that meant. I'm like, does that mean like God is speaking to me out of a burning bush? Does that mean that it's my own voice in my own head and I just have to trust that it's God? Like, I don't know what that means. And so kind of in that moment, I had to make a choice to write down the word that just came to mind. And the word that came to mind for me was the word fire. Um,
And yeah, and so when I chose to write down that word, what I was doing was I was choosing to realize that it was really a celebration of who I am and who I've always been. I grew up in the middle of nowhere, Saskatchewan, and I felt a little bit like Belle from Beauty and the Beast a lot of the time, because I did not fit in there. I was loud, and I was rambunctious, and I read a lot of books, and just the farm boys could not figure me out. And so it's taken a lot of years for me to unravel the box that people put me in there, and for me to accept that who I am is good, and the way that I've been made is good. And don't get me wrong, I sometimes have to remind myself to chill out a little bit and be a little quieter. My family often reminds me I don't have to shout in public places to be heard. But recently, with this move and with this word fire, I felt this really deep acceptance of myself. And God made me to be loud. He made me to be passionate. He made me to speak up for and elevate marginalized voices. And the better you'll get to know me, the more you'll realize that I can't shut up sometimes when we get into topics like that, because I do. I get really passionate, and I sometimes am wrong, and I sometimes have to apologize, and I sometimes have to backtrack. But God has made me to be fire, and that's good. Fire is dangerous, and it can't be contained once it's let loose. My husband will tell you that. But it allows new things to grow that maybe wouldn't have grown before. And so that's who the Holy Spirit is to me. And it's what the Holy Spirit whispers to me when I doubted myself and my gifts and my abilities. So when I see that card on the wall, it reminds me that the Spirit says I'm exactly as intended. And hearing that has been such a gift, that I am fire and I am good that way.
Thanks for sharing that. We really appreciate hearing a little bit more about you as well, but also just to hear the process of God bringing you to an acceptance of who He's made you to be and how you offer that in places that you're following the God you follow in that. Teets, share with us a little bit about the activity of the Holy Spirit in your life in this season, in particular, also from the middle of nowhere, Saskatchewan, I think.
I'm from the middle of somewhere.
Oh, the middle of somewhere, Saskatchewan.
The biggest city in Saskatchewan.
You better help your, I don't even know what you call Saskatchewan.
Saskatchewanite, isn't it?
Yep. All right, let's have a little debate now.
Who can spell Saskatchewan?
Yeah.
The tourism person for Saskatchewan is a Saskatchewan wanderer.
Nice.
So for people who haven't met me, I just moved here in September. I'm studying I'm doing my master's degree in music composition at UVic. So I just thought I would share a little bit in the recent past places where it's really seemed like God was at work. Last year, I was deciding where to go for school, and I had to choose between the program here and the one in Winnipeg. And besides climate, there were a lot of decisions going into that. And I was praying really hard and asking God for direction. And I had the opportunity to pray with elders in my church as well. And I have family in Portage La Prairie, Manitoba, which is about an hour away from Winnipeg. My grandparents are there, and aunt and uncle and cousins. And so that was one factor that drew me to that school. And one day while I was praying, I felt like I heard God saying, "Don't worry about your family, I'll take care of them." And that sort of took me off guard because I wasn't really worried about my family. My grandparents are getting a little older. My grandpa's blind now, but they're, you know, doing well, they're healthy. But so that's something that I heard. And I was still leaning towards a program in Winnipeg, but I had a distinct feeling like God was making a way for me here in Victoria. And after more prayer, I eventually committed to the program here in the middle of March. And after that, everything seemed to fall into place. So in the coming months, I received significant funding from the university. Then I was able to find a place really close to campus, five houses away. That's really inexpensive. And it wasn't actually until I got here that I found out that the supervisor that I really wanted to study with was actually still teaching here. So So the faculty has been in a little bit of flux, and I heard in the summer that she wasn't going to be teaching. And then on the first day of school, I walked around the corner and she was right there to give me a hug. But perhaps the biggest blessing of Victoria so far has been the community of people. My colleagues in the master's program at the School of Music are really wonderful and supportive, and we've formed a really close group already. I've connected with some Christian student groups on campus, which is great, and this church has been just fantastic. I showed up here on my first Sunday in town because I'm a fourth generation Alliance kid, and it's a short bike ride away from home. And I didn't know that I would find such a wonderful community. Growing up as a pastor's kid, I never had to find or make a church community on my own. I was just born into it. But I felt so welcome here, so thank you all. A couple of weeks ago, on Tuesday, October 22nd, my mom texted our family group chat that my Uncle Warren in Portage La Prairie had collapsed at work, and his heart had stopped, and he was rushed to the hospital in Winnipeg. The doctors weren't sure exactly what happened, so they sedated him and lowered his body temperature for 24 hours. While he was unconscious, our family came together across three provinces and five cities, and we prayed. And I was praying and worshiping here, and I texted my aunt to let her know. And it turned out that I was singing that song, I Raise a Hallelujah, almost the exact same time as my cousins and aunt were singing the same song in the hospital in Winnipeg. Oh. My uncle ended up waking up on Thursday, passed every cognitive test immediately, was prepared for more tests and a surgery to insert a defibrillator. After those tests, they found that there was virtually no damage to his heart and the surgery was unnecessary. He was able to return home on Tuesday, October 29th, 1 week after his heart stopped. And we praise God for that. Amen. The whole week ended up just being an amazing opportunity for our family to come together in faith. I feel so privileged that I have a family that's so close and close to God. Since then, I've had the ability to share that story of God's work with people in my life, including the young adults group here this week. And even yesterday, I happened to meet some friends on the bus, and we got talking about that as well. I'd like to share another prayer that I sang that day that my uncle collapsed. This might be annoying for the sound guy, sorry. My music work at the university is focused on environmental sounds and the practice of listening. And so I was walking to school and I heard this big ride-on leaf blower that they have on campus cleaning the road. And so I sang along. Maybe this will work.
This is Artis.
God, we do give all glory, honor, praise to your name, and even just join in the thought of that composition that Tease just shared with us, that all other ground is sinking sand compared to standing on you, Jesus, our rock. And so we claim that this morning as your people, and we pray that you would continue to tune our hearts to be aware of your activity. God, give us the patience to seek you for a word, your presence. Teach us what it is to make space for your encounter. And then God, give us the courage to follow you, to simply follow your lead.
continue to turn us into a community that experiences your activity and gives glory, praise, and honor to you as we share our testimony of what you're up to. For you truly are a living God. We pray this for your glory, Lord. Amen. Please show some expression of gratitude to our guests.